Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio at Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by LaDonna Redmond, an upcoming guest speaker at TEDx Manhattan, which will take place on February 16th. LaDonna, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you are quite the accomplished lady. You've been a longtime community activist. You have successfully worked to get Chicago Public Schools to evaluate junk food. You've launched urban agricultural projects. You've started a community grocery store. You've worked on federal farm policy to expand access to healthy food in low-income communities, just to name a few of your many accomplishments. To say that I'm excited to speak with you is an understatement. So thanks again for coming on.
Well, thank you.
So tell our listeners, what is the difference between the TED Talks we are so familiar with and TEDx?
The difference between, I believe, the TED Talk and the TEDx Talks are the decentralized talks that are coming up throughout the country that really reflect the issues and concerns of those local communities. So a New York TEDx will be different from, say, a Twin Cities TEDx, and that one may be different from a Houston TEDx. So it gives an opportunity to bring the kind of conversation that they're having at the, I call it the Big TED Conference. It gives everyone an opportunity to experience what people are experiencing at the larger scale TED conferences in California.
So the title of the TEDx Manhattan this year is titled Changing the Way That We Eat. And, I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious what that means, but that's also a huge kind of overarching theme. So for you, what's sort of some of the parts of that to dissect that you're excited about seeing, experiencing, and also discussing at the conference?
Well, I'm really excited to talk about really bringing a food movement closer together. We've had quite a few issues that have come up around food that has given us the opportunity to look at ourselves and say, hey, you know, we want to be a food movement. But we're fractionalized along a number of lines, and the biggest fractures are around race and class. And so what I hope to talk about at my during my little 18 minutes, is, you know, how do we really begin to heal the wounds that separate us, and then how can we really build the sustainable food movement that we need to change our food system?
So your topic that you are discussing is food justice, and I'd love to kind of back up and ask you how you began your journey within sort of the system of food.
Okay. Sure. I began my journey because I'm a mother, and as a mom, I wanted to feed my son, who I realized had food allergies at a very early age. And once we realized that he had food allergies, we started to look for food for him, and we wanted the healthiest food possible. So we were looking for food that didn't contain dairy products, eggs, shellfish, and peanuts. Those are the things that he was allergic to. And I slowly realized that the food that I wanted was food that didn't contain pesticides. It didn't have those allergens in it. It didn't contain the pesticides. It wasn't grown in sewer sludge. But that it was what I didn't know, organic. I didn't know that word prior to that. And so I started to buy organic food, and then I learned about buying food directly from farmers, knowing where my food came from. But in all of that, I realized that none of what I was doing would be possible in my community. If I wanted to shop 10 minutes from my house, I could not get access to, I talk about greens. I like salad mixes, and I wouldn't be able to get a salad mix or a salad 10 minutes from my house unless I got it from McDonald's or a tomato. So that's my entry into food justice, is really having, you know, just that, only the love that a mother could have for a child that will make you do the impossible, move mountains, make schools, do things. That's my entry into food justice.
And you certainly have moved mountains. I mean, my goodness, like how, you know, tell me about how, you know, one of the many things that you've done, I think, is really amazing, is you started a community grocery store. How did you start this project and sort of how?
Well, I started several community grocery stores. They're different iterations of the same one.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I just kept trying. After we got into the food thing and in our house, we would say that the food thing is big. I mean, no one, neither my husband nor I, realized at the time how big this food issue was. And we started converting vacant lots to urban farm sites, and we started talking with community members through some of the other relationships that I had in my community, and we realized that we wanted a grocery store. And community residents that I was working with did not want to invite a major chain grocery store in. They wanted a grocery store of their own. So we started with just little iterations of grocery stores. The first store that we opened was called Organico's, and it was seasonal. And we worked with the Garfield Park Conservatory, and we just sold fruits and vegetables through the spring and the summer and early fall. And then we did another store called Graffiti and Grub. And then the last iteration when I was in Chicago was called Family Fresh.
How did you find time for yourself? That's amazing.
Oh, I learned that a good activist is a well-rested activist. So I learned to take care of myself. I do this work from a place of love. It's not, I'm not mad at the food system or mad at Monsanto, and many activists are, and I suppose that's fine, but that's not what feeds me. I have to move from a place of love because it's sustainable for me and it's healthy. So loving myself, loving my kids means I have to make time for them as well. So I work as much as I can, and then, you know, I take my vacations and I take time off. I have some rules about work, so so it gets a little quirky over here too sometimes.
Well, I watched you in a TED Talk, and one of the things that you invited the audience to do was to go to, you know, a grocery store and pick out a specific ingredient or a product and try to, you know, name something beyond what it was. If it was a lemon from Washington, what part of Washington, or who picked it, you know, what were the growing conditions, etc. And can you talk a little bit more about that and sort of the larger issue of sort of where our food system breaks down, I guess?
Sure. I had forgotten that I asked the audience to do that as a part of a homework assignment. My thinking was that many people who will hear these TED Talks are not necessarily foodies. And sometimes, myself included, I can start talking about the food system and how horrible it is, and folks' eyes just kind of gloss over. They really don't understand. And so what I wanted to do was to give someone who may not have all the experience that I have with the food system an opportunity to try to pierce the veil of the food system and really come up, come to an understanding that we really don't know where our food comes from. We have an idea that our food will magically appear in the supermarket, and when we reach into the case, it should be there. I think we all have that expectation, And it's an expectation that masks the harm of a food system. And by that I mean it really masks the corporate control, how much corporate control we have in our food system, and how much that corporate control really does mask its harm. So no, we don't know the conditions under which the food was grown, nor do we know the conditions of the workers who grew the food. So we're not sure if we're buying that lemon that has been picked by someone who's been forced to work on a farm and is really there because they fear being sent back to their home country, or they fear being abused, or maybe even fear that they won't get paid everything that they deserve, even though they've worked for it. So our general public is not aware of the lack of transparency in our food system, and that exercise was to help people pierce that veil.
What do you think is one of the largest issues in food justice today that you're either trying to tackle or that you would, you know, theoretically love to be able to tackle?
Wow, that's a great question. I think the largest issue in food justice is that we do not have a national food policy. We have pieces of policy that operate in different places of our federal government, and we do not have a cohesive food policy. And so one of the things that I hope to be able to do is to get President Obama to sign an executive order mandating food justice at the USDA, replicating that environmental justice principles that were adopted by President Clinton.
Why do you think we don't have a national policy? Is it just that it's not on the sort of general radar of people? Or is it just, dissecting it, what do you think? I mean, thankfully for people like you, you're the reason why that will probably change for us.
I hope so. Yeah. I think we don't have one because we haven't harnessed the political will to change our food system. I think that everyone eats, and everyone is concerned about their food. No one wants bad food. Everyone wants their food to taste great for them, no matter what that food is. And we haven't done a good job of harnessing that political will. That's one reason. The other thing is that we're up against corporations who have organized to impact the political will of our representatives. And so right now, I think our federal government is more interested in supporting the interests of corporations because they've organized their voice to get their attention, and we need to do the same.
So you are currently working with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, and as the Senior Program Associate in Food and Justice. And tell me what kind of work you're doing over there.
Well, much of what I'm talking about are some of the things we do there. I several months ago organized a national conference called Food Plus Justice Equals Democracy, and we brought together several hundred activists who sat down for 3 days and really talked about what some of those uniting principles of food justice could be. And they came up with 7 areas that they could work in and work in together and sort of build a big tent. And so my job is about right now building that big tent. And as we build that tent, we also want to change the narrative of the food system that leaves out communities of color and the harm that industrialization has done, exploitation and industrialization has done to communities of color. So much of my work is about reclaiming that space in the narrative and then uplifting those folks who are in communities doing that work and helping them connect one to another so that we can build a better food system.
We are going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, we have more from LaDonna Redmond as well as lots from TEDx Manhattan. You are listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Lung by Iggy Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
man, Joe. Your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
We all know what a foodie is, but what's foodiness?
Foodiness is turning us into those chubby, slushy, slurping, lounge chair-bound morons in WALL-E, plugged in, pumped full of sugar, and brain dead.
Chef Erica Wides is here to fight against foodiness.
You have to keep drinking the Let's Get Real Kool-Aid for it to start to work.
Let's Get Real. Rediscover real food every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined by LaDonna Redmond, a guest speaker at the upcoming TEDx Manhattan, which is taking place on February 16th. And before the break, we were discussing, you know, food justice and all of the amazing things that LaDonna has done. And for listeners out there, in case you're wondering, you know, TEDx Manhattan is going to be discussing changing the way we eat. It takes place from 10:30 a.m. to 5:45 p.m. And, you know, there's going to be a bunch of amazing speakers, and some of which include Anna LaPay and Tama Matsuoka Wong, who's an incredible forager. And obviously, LaDonna Redmond, this amazing woman who I'm currently speaking to. So, LaDonna, who are you excited to hear speak at this event?
Who am I excited to hear? Let me think. I hadn't even thought about that.
I'm putting you on the spot. we can come back to that.
I'm thinking about my own presentation. It's like, who am I going to listen to? I am always interested in hearing from Anna LaPay. She's a dear friend of mine, and always, you know, very forward thinking about the food system. And there is, I think her name is Winona Howder from Food and Water Watch, who has a new book out, Foodopoly, I think it's called. And so I'm interested to hear her presentation because it really is an issue that I think it's one of the biggest issues in our food system. I mean, you asked me earlier what I thought was, you know, like the big thing. I think policy is the big thing, because the outcomes of this really poor policy is that, you know, we have 1 in 7 Americans on food stamps, and that's increasing. So we have to do something about that. So that I'm interested in those two presentations, and I'm going to be excited to just be there. So I'm looking forward to it.
So to learn more about, you know, the various issues within food justice and just sort of some of the highlights of various, you know, issues within our food systems, what books or, like, documentaries would you recommend our listeners check out to get some more information?
Books or documentaries? Wow, there's, like, a plethora of books that are out. And I probably would do better to tell you the titles, because, I mean, the authors, because I can't always remember the titles of the book. But the one that I just mentioned, I have to say I haven't read it. I've read reviews of it, which I think is just as good sometimes. But Foodopoly seems to be really promising in that it does give us a really good idea of the complexity of our food system. Of course, people may be familiar with Michael Pollan's books. I think a great many of his books are very, very good. Omnivore's Dilemma kind of lays out some understandings of the food system. There's also a new documentary out by Bryant Hurt, which is about soul food. It's called Soul Food Junkies. And it's a documentary that I like a lot, because it for me adds people of color, African-American people in this instance, to the conversation around food and food justice. Because most times you can look at any of the material or any of the documentaries out there, and you'll see, frankly, a lot of white people, no black or brown people, speaking authoritatively about the food justice movement or food system, as if there's, you know, more than one food system that will feed, you know, black people, and another one is for Latino people, but we only have really one food system. So I like that documentary, and it just came out, so it should be readily available.
So I've been told that the event is actually sold out, but, you know, people are encouraged to organize their own viewing parties of the live webcast stream. And do you know anything further about that?
I don't. I do know that these TEDx talks are very, very popular. So if you have a listener who's with you right now and listening and like, what in the world is a TEDx talk? I'd encourage you to find that live stream and check it out. I think you'll be surprised. It's a very interesting opportunity to hear from a lot of people around a topic, and it takes you in it very deeply. And most of the time, I find that the talks are very compelling and driven by a tremendous amount of passion of each of the people who are participating. So,
it seems incredibly nerve-wracking to speak in front of a bunch of people, but you do an amazing job of it. Do you have any secrets? Do you have like a ritual before you go on?
I have a ritual. Yes, I do. I am not, people would think probably that I'm an extrovert, but I'm not. I'm really an introvert. So it does take me a lot of energy for me to do a talk. So I am always very prepared. I spend a lot of time in silence. Before I do a talk, I usually have a presentation. I never know if I'm actually going to do the presentation that I planned because
wow.
Things will come to me and I will do that presentation. But I enjoy talking with people and sharing what I've learned and encouraging them to go out and do their and have their food journey. It doesn't really make me an expert, just makes me somebody that's concerned. And so before presentations, yeah, I spend a lot of quiet time, and then I'm like totally exhausted afterwards, and people have questions, and I'm like, I probably sound like some kind of like a lunatic or something afterwards, because my brain has to kind of shrink back down a little bit. But I always find somebody who's very calming, and I usually just sit in a corner with them and talk, and I make great friends all over the country by using that as my kind of wind down time. So,
if you could have a TED wish this year, what would it be?
A TED wish. My TED wish, okay, here it is. My TED wish is that executive order that President Obama, in my presentation, I have a picture of President Obama signing legislation, and my TED wish this year is that we have President Obama signed a Fair, Just, and Healthy Food Act mandating food justice for the USDA.
Now, if that were to go through, talk about, you know, how that would fall into place and what kind of systems would fall into place.
Oh, wow. You know what? When that happens, we got a lot more work to do. It won't be. That's not the end of the work. That really is just the beginning. Because what I think we have to go about doing is really getting citizens involved in the conversation around food and then begin to hold our federal government accountable to us. And so that may mean a whole lot of things. That could mean beginning to talk about antitrust legislation and the enforcement of antitrust in our food system and stopping this unregulated consolidation across the food system that masks really the fact that there's only maybe 5 or 10 companies that represent the center aisles of our grocery stores. And we think that we walk into a store, we have 20, 30, 40 choices, and really we only have 5. Maybe we have 10. So that's one of the things. I'm also really hopeful about making sure that farm workers and restaurant workers are able to get paid fairly. There's a number of campaigns across the country that are directed at calling attention to the fact that many of our restaurant workers come to work sick because they have no paid sick days. So 90% of restaurant workers have worked when they're sick, and just think about the implications of that for our public health system. But the fact that they have to work and they don't have a choice, because to not work means to not get paid, and so they have to work. So those are some of the things that I hope we can be addressed. That we have farm laborers in Florida right now harvesting, you know, winter tomatoes for the rest of the country, and they're getting, you know, pennies per pound to do that back-breaking work for us, and we are not paying them a fair wage, so they can't even afford to buy the tomatoes that they're harvesting.
What's on the horizon for your springtime? And any projects that you're looking forward to working on, or anything that you'd like to discuss?
Wow, what's going on for the springtime? Let's see. I'm toying with the idea of putting together a documentary. Myself, I'd like to get more into telling the story of the food system through the eyes of people of color, so I'm excited about some work in that area. I'm also considering writing a book about my journey in the food system and how it's helped me and other people not just eat healthy, but how we can really help each other have a better world.
Please do. Please, for all of our sakes, please do all those things. That would be wonderful. For listeners out there, if you want to learn more about the upcoming TEDx Manhattan event, you can log on to TEDxManhattan.org. And LaDonna, you are truly a modern-day Wonder Woman, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
And I look forward to seeing you on the webcast, and good luck to you in your talk. And as always, thank you so much to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network. I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.